future. Welcome to Runtalk.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Runtalk. Today we're just going to talk about what's been going on through the week with my training, and maybe we'll come up with some other topics along the way. But so I just wanted to let everyone know what's been going on this week. I haven't done a lot of training this week, running wise. I've only done 2 runs. I've been nursing a bit of a hip. I wouldn't say it's an injury, but it's a bit of a tightness that's occurring, and the more sort of glute TFL type area, it's been very tight. So I've been trying to keep stretching that and working that and not overdoing it. I did a 9.9k run on Thursday, and I did a 12k run today, but that's it for the running. I have been to the gym a couple of times and tried to work on glute strength, plyometrics, box jumps, farmer carries, just general strength and conditioning. And I've also been doing a booty workout, butt workout, whatever you want to call it. It's just a sort of a 28-day challenge that I've started, where there's about 3 to 5 exercises a day with between 10 and 20 reps per set, and up to 4 sets left and right. There's resistance band stuff and squats and those sort of things. It's all glute hamstring type focus, so I've been doing that. I'm supposed to be on day 5, which was yesterday. I haven't done day 5 yet, so I was going to do it today, but after just doing the 12k run, a bit of a busy morning this morning, so I didn't get out till late. I've only just got back, so I'll probably do day 5 tomorrow now. I'm feeling a little bit fatigued. That run was a bit hillier than what I'm used to, so I was definitely feeling the fatigue from that one. So the gym, I went to the gym on Thursday night and did some leg work using the leg machines. I used some machines for hamstrings, abductors and adductors, and definitely, I don't know, it's interesting, because whenever I do jump on the machines or do a bit of a squat deadlift type routine, something that's very glute hamstring dominant, I tend to really sort of pull up sore the next day, or maybe more real term sort of DOMS day 2 or day 3. So that was Thursday night. It's Saturday today, and I was still feeling quite sort of sore in the hamstrings and glutes. So I'm not sure why that is. I don't feel like I'm overdoing it. It's moderate weight. It's not super weights or anything. Definitely do feel the DOMS, because I guess most of the work I do is aerobic in the running. So the strength training is something that's something I'm trying to be more consistent with, and I'm trying to get some weight into that training to try and build the muscle strength. Maybe those muscle fibers are just not used to that sort of work, and they're really feeling it. But I'm finding that I've got to be really careful after I've done a gym session. I've got to be careful, because certain things are tending to sort of flare up a little bit from that, just from general soreness and stiffness, and it can affect the running. So I've got to be careful. So I didn't end up running the next day because mainly the hip flexor was quite tight, and also I was a little bit tight in the abs. I wouldn't say I've got a strain there, but I've got a bit of a tender spot in the abs, and I was feeling that when I was lifting up my left leg. So it's the left hip flexor, left psoas, I'm guessing. And when I was doing box jumps at the gym on Thursday night, I was definitely feeling that. So I stopped doing the box jumps after I did a few box jumps. I thought, no, I can feel this hip flexors nagging a little bit, so I'm gonna stop the box jumps, just rest that muscle. Had run club on Wednesday morning with the kids. There was about 40 kids turned up to the primary school. It's a preschool activity that I run each week. That's always a highlight of my running week. Seeing 40 kids running up and down the oval, smiling their heads off, playing funny games and silly games, and doing all sorts of activities. But more importantly, just getting them out there running and getting them to enjoy running. So that's been great. And today I just did a 12K run. So as far as training's going, I'm 3 months out from the half marathon now. It's literally just sort of 3 months away. So I've got plenty of time. There's no need to make any crazy sort of training runs, or you could say I'm starting a build up now, even though I've been training for a couple of months already, with some consistency. So I guess I was trying to get my ankle right, with some base building, so that was a priority for me. And now I feel like I've got that stability and strength back, so now I'm sort of going into a training block, if you like, from now. I've been doing the last couple of months about 130 k's a month, so I'm building up some distance. I'll probably, I think, maybe get up towards the 200 k's in month 2 to 3. Mindful that there'll be a taper in there, so month 3 will be, half month will probably be towards that target, and then it'll drop right off again. So, but we'll discuss those elements as that timing comes along. So, I just wanted to maybe touch on one running specific thing. Now I've just covered off on my week. I just wanted to talk about cadence for a minute. It is a subject that I guess is a hot topic. People talk about there's the magic number, the 180 steps per minute. Some people believe that's not relevant, arguing that different people's heights, different leg lengths, different stride patterns, etc. While all that maybe may sound good or may sound relevant, the 180 stride length, stride cadence, sorry, steps per minute is. It seems to be a consistent sort of number around there. A lot of people that are much slower than that, you get a lot of people around the 160 steps, 165 steps a minute. They think that it would be really hard to get up to 180 steps a minute. What I did, and when I first started training cadence, I was probably more like a 170 sort of cadence, so not as long or as much of a gap to make up for me. But what I did was, and I think it's a good tip, is I put together a playlist, because I like to listen to music when I'm running, of music with beats of 90 beats a minute, or I think they were all actually 90 beats a minute. So you can find some good sort of tunes with 90 beats a minute, and every time the beat comes along, that's one. Each leg is 90. Let's say your left leg, when the beat comes, your left leg hits, and then your right leg goes forward without the beat because it's between the beats, and then your left leg hits again on the beat. So every time the beat comes along, you're hitting your left leg. And I think it's good to alternate that as well. So you might go along for a little bit with your left leg hitting on the beat, but then it's maybe the next song, get your right leg hitting on the beat, because you don't want to sort of get into this dominant pattern where your left leg's sort of striking right in rhythm, and your right leg could sort of go its own way and not sort of conform. So switching around and going to your right leg as well, that just gets your right leg in that rhythm as well. 180 beats a minute is probably, I think some songs, if you had a song with 180 beats, it'd probably do your head in. But if you really wanted to do a bit of a drill, I think a metronome's good, where you set it to 180 beats and try and hit each leg on the beep, because we're trying to get that even, you know, even pattern. We want both legs to sort of travel and move at the same distance and pace. We don't want to be overloading one leg and underloading the other leg. You know, it's a unilateral sport running. We need both legs to run with the right sort of timing. And we also want to make sure that, you know, we're working on those stabilizing muscles, because it is a one-legged sport. We're balancing on one leg each time. So having the same ground contact time on each leg and the same sort of pattern, that's where the cadence comes in. And I think that's a good place for people to start when they're looking to try and improve the running form. Just a couple of tips around cadence. If you're finding it's too hard to get that sort of speed, think about shortening your stride. Don't shorten your stride behind you, but shorten your stride in front of you. So you want a long stride out the back. All your running should be happening at the back, and you want to bring your foot forward and come under the center of mass, so you're not reaching out and overstriding and heel striking, but you're bringing your foot down underneath your hips and shortening the stride forward, just to give you a quicker time to get from the back to the front, and that helps you speed up the leg stride or strike rate or cadence, as it's, you know, as we're talking about. So that's a little bit of run talk from me today. Hope you had a great week. Hope you're having a great weekend, and I'll catch you next time. Enjoy your running. Thanks, guys. Bye. Run talk's over. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy running.